All right.
All right. Can people see the source sheet?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So the topic of Shir this morning is the question of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios of Rosh Hashanah. And Yom Tov Sheni, I've spoken a number of years ago. I was looking at this topic, and then I discovered a source sheet. And then when I looked carefully, I saw it was a KJ Yom Iyun. So this may look a little like the old source sheet, but it's quite a bit different as well. And that time, I spoke about Yom Tov Sheni in general. But this morning, I wanted to focus on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios of Rosh Hashanah, because it is a special case, even as Yom Tov Sheni goes. The institution of Yom Tov Sheni, probably ranks second after yeshiva tuition as perhaps the greatest spur to making aliyah, at least for some people, unless they spend every Yom Tov anyway in Eretz Yisrael. So that might be a second to yeshiva tuition, encouraging people to make aliyah. But Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah is something that it's not going to help you making aliyah, because Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah is different than all other Yom Tov Shenis. So I want to start first to go back in time to a particular issue, which I think is found in many places throughout the Mishnah, but it's easy to not understand the Mishnah if you lose sight of, I would say, the historical data and historical prism. So I want to start with a Mishnah that has clearly almost nothing to do with Yom Tov Sheni per se. It's really incidental, but it is actually in certain ways illuminating. The halacha is that when you do a bris milah, if the bris milah is being done on the eighth day, what we call a milah bismana, so a milah bismana is done even on Shabbos. It's a gzeiras hakosuv, uvayom hashmini imol besar or laso afilu b'Shabbos. So that's very, very clear, very well-established practice. There's a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, whether machshirei milah are docha Shabbos, and we assume that they're not docha Shabbos. Machshirei means preparatory steps to the milah, things that could have been done before Shabbos, but weren't. Can they be done on Shabbos as well? I think in Rabbi Eliezer's town, the Gemara in the beginning of the 19th parak in Shabbos says that they used to cut down the wood to make charcoal and make the knife on Shabbos when there was a milah bismana. So we don't do that. We assume you can make the knife before and do that all before. But the bris milah itself, which entails a malacha, can be done on Shabbos. But that is only true by a milah bismana. Once you have a milah shelo bismana, once it's not the eighth day, so then you cannot do a bris milah on Shabbos because in this case, Shabbos wins. Now the Mishnah deals with the case when a child is born in the twilight zone, literally. When they're born, Bein Hashmashos, in that time period that it's not clear if it's day or night. And a bris milah also, independent of Shabbos or Yom Tov, may not be done before the eighth day. So in a case of doubt, if a child is born, let's say, tonight, born about 7:05 or 7:10, if they're born around that time, so the question is, were they born on Sunday or Monday? And halacha will be that we'll do the bris milah the following Monday, not the following Sunday, because not on Rosh Hashanah, because it's a suffik milah bismana, and therefore better to wait till the eighth day. Okay, just I have to stop. All right, one moment here. I need to stop the share. I apologize because it won't let me admit people. Ranan, are you there?
I am here, but it's going to be hard for me to see who's joining. I see you made Lenny co-host.
Right, I did already. The problem is I think when I'm sharing the screen, I can't see the admit room. It's a problem. So, okay. Anyway, we'll have to do our best. I hope. I guess this is the case where once the class starts, you lock the classroom door. But that's not the goal here. Okay, so anyway, so that child, whenever you have a suffix, whether the milah is on the, whether it's bismana, you wait till the next day. So the mission, now here's the interesting question. What happens if a child is born Friday night, a Bein Hashmashos? So you don't know that the child was born on Friday or Shabbos. So you can't do the bris milah on Friday because that might be the seventh day. But you can't do the bris milah on Shabbos because it might be Shabbos, might be the ninth day. Maybe the child was really born on Friday. So the Mishnah here presents the following rule. With all that background, katan nima l'shmona l'tisha l'asara u l'chadasar u l'shnei masar. lo pachosh v'lo yoser, assuming the child is not sick. A child is will have a milah. A child born normally healthy will have a milah either on the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, or the 12th day. Not sooner or not later. Ha-ketzad, how does that work out? Kidarko l'shmona. A normal case, a child is born on Sunday, the milah is done on Sunday. That's considered the 8th day. However, the Mishnah says, no lan debena shmoshos. If the child is born on Sunday, going into Monday, and we're not sure whether it's Sunday or Monday, nimo letisha. He's going to have his bris milah on the 9th day. Bein ha-shmashos el erev Shabbos. Let's say it's not definitely the 9th day. It might be the 9th day. Now, bein ha-shmashos el erev Shabbos. The child is born on late Friday afternoon, early Shabbos evening. So nimo la'asara. You can't mal the child on Friday because it might be the 7th day. It's either the 7th or the 8th, but it might be the 7th. You can't be mal the child on Shabbos because it might be the 9th day. It's either the 8th or the 9th. So instead, you do the bris milah on Sunday, which might be the 10th day. Yom Tov la'achara Shabbos. Let's say Yom Tov falls out on Sunday. So then Yom Tov falls out on Sunday. So bris milah shalo bismana is not only not docha Shabbos, it's not docha Yom Tov as well. That's an interesting question. Why? But that's the halacha. So the Mishnah says that if this were this year, exactly, this, let's say the child, you had a child in your community born this past Friday going to Shabbos, you can't do it on Friday because it might be the 7th. You can't do it on Shabbos because it might be the 9th. You can't do it on Sunday because it's definitely not the 8th. So you wait to Monday, which might be the 11th or the 10th day from the day the child was born. And finally, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah, Nimo L'Shnei Masar. If, in fact, this can't happen in our calendar, but in a situation where you could have in a calendar, when they will Mekadesh the moon, Mekadesh the Chodesh Al Pi HaRi'iyah, so you could have Rosh Hashanah come out on Sunday. And therefore, in that case, the Mishnah says that bris milah shel bezmana is not docha yom tov rishon shel Rosh Hashanah, and it doesn't push aside yom tov sheni shel Rosh Hashanah either. Now, here's the interesting question, which is, why does the Mishnah choose shnei yom tovim shel Rosh Hashanah? Now, in our calendar, as I said, Rosh Hashanah can never come out on Sunday. Therefore, Sukkot can't come out on Sunday, and Shmini Atzeres can't come out on Sunday. But I believe Shavuos can't come out on Sunday, the first Shavuos can come out on Sunday.
Yeah, because that...
It can. If Pesach is Shabbos, Shavuos is Sunday. And Pesach, the first day, can come out on Sunday. So the question is, why does the Mishnah choose Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah as the example? And the answer is actually quite simple, but it's easy to lose sight of this, which is that in the days of the Mishnah, in Eretz Yisrael, there was no such thing as Yom Tov Sheni outside of Rosh Hashanah. Because as we will look in the next two Mishnayos, so how did they, people weren't sure. Let's say Pesach comes. It's Rosh Chodesh Adar. Everybody knows Pesach's going to be the next month. The only question is, will Adar, the last Adar, be 29 days or be 30 days? And that will determine which day of the week Pesach is. It'll be off by one day. So the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to scroll down a little bit here. You can see at the bottom. Firstly, there are a couple of things it tells us. Firstly, it tells us, Al Shnei Chadashim Mechala L'Nesa Shabbos, Al Nisan V'Al Tishrei, Shebahem Ashluchim Yotzim L'Surya, Uvahem Misaknes Hamoados. So the Mishnah says that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's clear from the next line in the Mishnah, there were only 2 months that there used to be Mechala Shabbos for having the Edim... for sending out messengers for the messengers in order to be mefarsim to the world. I take that back. In 2 months would we have the Edim come and be Mechal Shabbos to come testify about Rosh Chodesh, even though Midaraisa, they could always come for any Rosh Chodesh. Nonetheless, after the Chorban, only for 2 months did they want the Edim to come. Those 2 months were special because those were the only 2 months they would send messengers out to the diaspora to let them know when Pesach was and when Moadei Tishrei were. Now, why did they send out messengers? The Mishnah says, preceding this Mishnah, I believe, the Mishnah says that once upon a time they had a fire system. When they would declare it Rosh Chodesh, they'd have a number of mountains they could go up on at night, the night after, let's say, it was declared Rosh Chodesh, whatever the night it was, they would go up on the mountain, and they would at night, and they would send wave torches mountain to mountain to mountain. Eventually, it could reach Babel. How long did it take? Well, the light speed of light is 186,000 miles or so per second. Imagine it took a few minutes, but it wouldn't take very long for the message to get even as far as Babel, that when Rosh Chodesh had been declared. Okay, the only problem was there were some people who tried to interfere in the system because they wanted to mess up the calendar. So we had to resort to sending out messengers. But nonetheless, for most of Jewish settlement, it wasn't that far. It wasn't that far. No, it wasn't. They didn't live at such distances that people wouldn't know. However, that's all fun and good for, number one, places that were close enough that in a the Pony Express of 10 days could reach them, 11 days. However, there are two problems with this. Number one, there were Jews who lived beyond the perimeter of the 14 days or however many days the messengers actually had to travel, number one. And number two, what do you do for Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is the trickiest thing. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah, you don't have even a minute of a time lag. If people don't know whether today or tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, that is the day of Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah in itself, forget, you could make the following argument. What did the Torah envision Jews would do regarding Yom Tov and the suffix of which when Rosh Chodesh was declared? So the truth is, and there is a shita in Rishonim, it's a strange shita, but Rabbeinu Hananel, and it's probably Rav Sadia Gaon's position, is that really min ha-Torah, the month is not really supposed to be determined by witnesses, it's determined by cheshbon, by calculation. It's a very strange position. The Rambam and the Perush HaMishnayis swats this aside and suggests it was only meant for polemical purposes against the Karaites, which that might actually be true. It certainly runs contrary to so many Mishnayis. The entire half of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it runs contrary to, but that was the position of some of the Gaonim and Rabbeinu Hananel. Now, if you argue that Min HaTorah, you're really only supposed to do the calculations the way we do it, a Kiddush Al Pi Cheshbon, then there's no problem. There's never a Sfeika Diyoma. Everybody knows exactly when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. But that opinion is a Kitzoni position. It's a pretty fringe position. So I ask, what did the Torah envision for Yom Tov Sheni? And the simple answer would be, and this will work for Pesach and probably Yom Kippur and Sukkot, but not for Rosh Hashanah, the Torah envisioned that the entire Jewish people would be living in the land of Israel. How long does it take messengers to get from Yerushalayim to the bottom of Eilat? I don't know, how many miles is it to Eilat? 150 miles or something like that? You know, it would take, the way Chazal calculated people's traveling, probably take 5 days, and probably it could be done faster than that. If you know anything about the Greek runners, the Dromios, they could probably get there in, you know, 2-3 days or something like that, or probably even less than that, maybe even a day. So basically, that wouldn't have been a problem. Okay, so that's all wonderful for everything except for Rosh Hashanah. There's no time lag for Rosh Hashanah. How are you going to let people know who live in the Golan, who live in Eilat? How are they going to know whether it was declared Rosh Chodesh, whether or not Rosh Chodesh Elul was 30 days, or as it always was, apparently 29 days? How are you going to know? And better said, what was the Torah expecting of us? I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but I want to just show you one Mishnah which highlights the problem and actually has had enormous ramifications for our halacha. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, in the last parak, speaks about a series of takanot that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made, and some related to Rosh Hashanah. Well, the first one was related to Rosh Hashanah about the Tekiah Shofar. The others are not necessarily related. And the Mishnah says the following. Originally, they used to accept Eidos for Rosh Chodesh, all day. Now, it seems, when you learn the Gemara, this seems to have been specifically related, not just to Rosh Chodesh generally, but more specifically to Chodesh Elul. But the Mishnah itself is talking about theoretically could have been any Rosh Chodesh, and depending on how you read that last part. So Barishona Hayim Makablin Eidos Chodesh Kalayim. The way it worked was as follows. Beis Din sat with bated breath on day 30 of the month. If the Eidim would come during the day, during day 30 and say, we saw the new moon last night, based on ask the Edom questions that would check out their testimony. And if it checked out, or if based on just wanted it to check out, so then based on would say, Mekudash HaChodesh, Mekudash HaChodesh, Mekudash HaChodesh, and magically day 30 would be transformed into day one of the next month. Now, what people did for Yalla V'Yavo that Shachris, I have no idea. That's not my problem right now. But bottom line is, that's what the Mishnah says. Normally, they would accept Edom to testify about Rosh Chodesh the entire day. However, Pam Achas Nishtahu Edom Milofam. One time, the Edom were very late in coming. And the day was approaching the end of the day, and the Levium had to sing something on the Karban. And the question is, what Shira were they going to sing? And I think in the Gemara, it's a question, did they sing the Shira of Chol, or did they sing the Shira of Rosh Hashanah? And they got Niskalku Levium Bashir. And they just got totally confused. It's not clear they said the wrong shir. They didn't say shir at all because they were paralyzed because the clock was running and they had to get it in. So Hiskinu Shelo Yehu Mekablin Ela Ad HaMincha. They made a takana. This was not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They made a takana that after mincha time, I assume 9 hours in the day, if Edom hadn't come, that day would not be Rosh Chodesh. That day would not be Rosh Hashanah. In other words, it was just going to be a 38 month. V'im ba'u edim in a mincha l'mala. And what if witnesses did show up after mincha? Doesn't matter. No'agim osa ayom kodesh ulamachar kodesh. They would treat both days as having kedusha, meaning the rest of the day that the edim came on, we know is not going to be Rosh Hashanah. We know that because we're not accept. Beis Din is choosing not to accept the witnesses, and that's based in prerogative when it comes to the calendar. So nonetheless, what were people doing from the beginning of the day? Everybody started observing at least the Isser Malacha from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah because it might be Rosh Hashanah. Comes Mincha time and the Edom haven't shown up. At that point, you know it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah. And nonetheless, even though the Edom come later, so apparently you continued observing the rest of the day as Rosh Hashanah, and then you keep the next day Rosh Hashanah as well, and the next day would be the primary day. Okay, so then the Mishnah says the following: Mishachara beis hamikdash, and there was no longer a concern about getting messed up in the karbanos in the shira. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai she mekablin edus hachodesh kalayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai returned the din to its original state, the Torah law that you could accept witnesses, the entire day. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did. Now, what would happen if witnesses came? You'd accept the witnesses. You'd make it Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah doesn't say what happens with the next day. And as according to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, in a scenario, everybody agrees, in a scenario where the witnesses showed up before the end, before Mincha time, one day Rosh Hashanah, that's it. However, when the witnesses showed up on after Mincha, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai accepted them. So that day was Rosh Hashanah. What did they do the next day? The Mishnah doesn't say. Now, in my family, and I'm sure the last time I gave the shir and read this Gemara, I must have told this joke. There's a minhag in my family, from my father, that always, as soon as Yom Kippur's over, so now I'm not in the same place as my parents, and we always call, the question is, who calls first to say that we heard there was a mistake, and we got the day wrong, and actually yesterday wasn't Yom Kippur, today is Yom Kippur. Okay, it's the same bad joke, but I think we all have these family rituals. Well, for us, it's a joke, because we know when Yom Kippur is. However, if you lived in a place where you didn't know for sure where Yom Kippur was, you can imagine it would be a nightmare. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells the following story. Levi Ikla LeBavel B'chadser B'Tishrei. He arrived in Bavel on what they thought was the 11th of Tishrei. Omar, he said, Basim Tavshila de Bavloi B'Yom Araba de Maraba. He said that the food in Bavel of the Babylonians smells very good. The food that they're eating on Yom Kippur that they're celebrating in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Levi somehow knew when Yom Kippur was, and he arrived just in time for Yom Kippur in Bavel. But in Bavel, they were just finishing celebrating, or they thought it was the next day. I forget which way it works out. So Amar Lei, Asid, they asked Levi, did you hear the Beis Din declare Mekudesh HaChodesh? Amar Lehu, Lo Shamati Mipi Beis Din Mekudesh. Levi apparently saw what was going to happen. He knew Beis Din had decided, but they hadn't announced it yet. And he left before hearing that, and therefore he couldn't testify. Now, Levi, apparently, what he didn't want to make them do, he didn't want to have to make them fast the second day. right? So when they asked him, did you hear based and say Mekutas? Apparently, no Edom showed up. There must have been no Edom showed up for Ella. Normally, Ella was 29 days, but that year, not a single Ed showed up on all of day 30. And Levi knew what was going to be, but Beis Din did not say Mekudash till the next day, because Beis Din only makes that declaration during the day. So Levi apparently must have left for traveling, and he must have traveled very quickly. Well, I guess he had till Yom Kippur, but Levi left without hearing the Beis Din say Mekudash, and he got to Babel, and he knew that Yom Kippur was actually the next day, that it had been delayed one day. But in Babel, they were assuming, like almost every year, Elul is always going to be 29 days, so Rosh Hashanah is always going to be the 30th day, which is really the first day of Tishrei. But Levi refused to tell them. And in effect, what it meant is that the Bnei Bavel were going to eat on the 11th day, what they thought was the 11th day, which really in Eretz Yisrael was the 10th day. So the Rishonim ask a question here. Tosus asked the question, if you look at Levi, Ikla lebavel b'chatza b'tishrei, acharas ha'hoya lebnei bavel, and so the Tosus explains how Levi got there. So if you skip down a little bit to where I underlined the text, about six lines, the fifth line in Tosus near the end. How could Levi, just because technically he didn't hear Mekudash, the bottom line is factually speaking, they're eating on Yom Kippur if you let them eat that day. So Tosus here says something which is not entirely clear, but is absolutely stunning. Tosus says, "V'yesh lomar hatnan lekaban beperek sheni, asher tikru osam mikra'ei kodesh." This is the power. What the Mishnah says there is that the Beis Din's declaration is binding on the calendar, even if they make a mistake within certain parameters, within one being off by one day. So the Mishnah says, "Asher tikru osam mikra'ei kodesh bein bismanan." Bein shelo bezmanim, when you get the right time or the wrong time. Va'aminam b'gemara, the Gemara says, atem afilu shogigim, osam, afilu shogigim, osam afilu mezidin, va'afilu mutayim. It doesn't matter if Beis Din made a mistake, if Beis Din on purpose declared the wrong day, if Beis Din was deceived by somebody, the Beis Din's declaration is valid. So the truth is, when you stop right here in Tosfos, there's something missing. The Bnei Bavel are not a Beis Din, or seemingly. The Beis Din is in Eretz Yisrael, and Levi knew what the Beis Din had declared. So who cares that they made a mistake in Bavel? That's not a mistake that fixes the calendar. So if you go to the end of Tosfos, he says, Aval Hocha, Tosfos asked a question from a different Gemara, and then Tosfos says, Aval Hocha, this is different than that Gemara, Lohem Hoya Asiri. For Bnei Bavel, it was the 10th day of the month. So Tosus here has an incredible idea. It's echoed by the Rashba as well, that somehow, even though Bnei Bavel were technically mistaken, they had the power to make it the 10th day of the month for them. So the way this, I think, is understood by the Achronim is the following. What did the Torah expect us to do for Rosh Hashanah? So the answer is probably simple. The answer is we follow a rove. We know that Beis Din and Eretz Yisrael will virtually never, never declare Chodesh Elul to be 30 days. The Gemara we will see later says, Mimos Ezra ve'elach lo matzinu elam ubar. There was never a single year, although apparently this year is an exception if you have to believe it, and then there's never a single year when Elul was 30 days. So you know that even if should there be an exception, you know that al pi rove, Elul is 29 days, and that's enough for you to celebrate Rosh Hashanah on day 30 and Yom Kippur 9 days later, and you don't have to worry about a suffix. In other words, Torah law would say you follow a rove. So much so that even if you're mistaken, it's considered valid. In other words, if Bnei Bavel were following a rove of years where Elul was going to be only 29 days, and they observed Yom Kippur on what was for them Yud Tishrei, barring absolute information from Eretz Yisrael that they declared Rosh Chodesh to be a different day, until they receive such information, Yom Kippur is on the 10th of Tishrei following the majority of years, not following the declaration of Beis Din Eretz Yisrael. Because since they don't know about it, Min HaTorah, their responsibility, and it is fundamentally correct, is to follow the majority of years. And that's again, this is a very creative reading of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Osam afilu shogim, osam afilu mizidim, osam afilu mutayim. Okay. So that may be the answer. What did the Torah envision that we would do for Yom Tov Sheni? So the answer is, for the rest of the Yom Tovim, Jews would live in, or all the Jews would live in Israel, there would be no diaspora, and it would be no problem. But what about Yom Tov Sheni, Shavuot, Shoshana? The answer is the Torah assumed that we would rely upon a rov. And if later you clarified, if you got definitive information from the Beis Din that they had gone off a day, then from that point on, you would change your observance. Okay. That's as far as Rosh Hashanah. I want to make sure I listen. So what about for us? What do we do today? So as we all know, we have a fixed calendar, and we all know when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. We all know when Sukkot is going to be. We all know when Pesach is going to be. So why do we keep 2 days? So that's based upon a Gemara in Beitza that's on the screen there. Omer Abaye, v'hashta di adinam b'kiva di yarcha, my time adinam treyomim. Now that we know definitively when Yom Tov is going to be, why do we keep 2 days? And the answer is mishum d'sholchu mitam. They sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hizaru b'minag avoseichem b'yedeichem zimin d'gazru shmadav asa l'kalkulei. Somehow there was a concern that in times of persecution, people would get messed up, and therefore they decided that we should always keep 2 days, even though right now we know what the calendar is. Okay. And
Rabbi Wiener?
Yes.
I had learned this Gemara thoroughly with Rav Soloveitchik, and everything made sense after about 4 hours of shiur, 2 days. And then I went to the Soviet Union in 1972. And the most precious thing I could possibly give any of the people in shul was a little luach. Because they had no idea when the holidays would be.
Right.
Zimnin de gazru shmada vasilik akalkule.
Thank you. That's one I have to file away. That's very good. That's very good in teaching this Gemara. It seems stranger and stranger by the day, but nonetheless, that is rather amazing. And the Rambam echoes that. The Rambam writes, Zesha anu osim b'chutz l'aretz ko yom tov ve'enu shnei yamim minagu v'yom tov sheni midivrei sofrimhu u'midvarim shenishad shu b'galos. They were instituted in Galos vein osim b'nei Eretz Yisrael shnei yamim tovim ela b'rosh Hashanah bovat. In Eretz Yisrael, is the only thing they keep are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, there is one very interesting footnote and something, I wouldn't say historical controversy to this. That is what the Rambam claims. It is worthy of being aware, something that the Baal HaMa'or notes, and it seems on pretty good evidence. First, the Baal HaMa'or, was Rezvachya HaLevi, who lived in Provence in the 12th century. He was a once upon a time Chavrusa, and then a subject to the vicious attacks of his ex Chavrusa the Ravid. So the Baal HaMa'or writes, observing that the Rif is assuming that you keep 2 days of Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, even in the land of Israel. And then the Baal HaMa'or writes that Ve'ein lanu shum raya midivrei Rav Amasha Kasav. There's no proof to what the Rif said about Rosh Hashanah. Shelo nemru divrei Rav ela bizman shei mekad shna pi re'iyah. Aval bedoros halalu me'achar shehuskan seder ha'ibur al pi minog shenahu biyadenu. So the Baal HaMa'or says that when Rava is assuming you celebrate 2 days of Rosh Hashanah Eretz Yisrael, that's only when they were Mekadesh al pi re'iyah. Once we went to a fixed luach, Chazra kol Eretz Yisrael, Lios kebeis havad she'en lohem safek b'kdusha sayom, ve'enem chayavim lishmar ki im yom echad. Bein Rosh Hashanah, bein shayam tovim. So the Baal HaMa'or says that in Eretz Yisrael, there is no need to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. They only kept 2 days when you were Mekadesh al pi re'iyah, when you didn't know when Rosh Hashanah was going to be outside of with the Beis Avad, whatever the Sanhedrin was. But Bizman Hazeh, says the Baal HaMa'or, where we have a fixed luach, just like you don't celebrate or you don't have Yom Tov Sheni of the other Chagim, you don't have Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah either. And he go now that's an opinion, but what he goes on to say is amazing. V'chein noagu lasos pe'eretz Yisrael kol hadoro shahayu lefanenu. And that was the minhag in Eretz Yisrael for generations before us. Arata, until now, chadashim mikaro ba'u, newcomers came, l'sham, to Eretz Yisrael, mechach me'provansa, apparently from the Balamar's own homeland. V'hinigum laso shnei yamim tovim b'Rosh Hashanah api hilchos arifzal. V'chein kosav ha-Rabbeinu Ephraim zal the Rif's Talmud. So the Balamar claims that the practice of keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah Eretz Yisrael was a Johnny come lately minhag to Eretz Yisrael. And that, in fact, from the time that they set the Luach until relatively recently, the Balamar says, nobody kept 2 days of Rosh Hashanah Eretz Yisrael. I've got some bad news for anybody who has high hopes here. One is obligated to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, it's kind of interesting that it's not clear from the Gemara whether, in fact, once they set up the Luach, they set up an automatic, you know, Kiddush Api Cheshbon, however that works, it's not clear that they kept 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael, but that certainly is our practice today. Okay. So that is clearly the origin of Yom Tov Sheni, and specifically the origin of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. Very briefly, I just want to comment.
Rabbi, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, go ahead.
So based on the Rashba and the Tosfos that you mentioned before on the Gemara with Levi who went to Bavel, mm-hmm. Was there a position also that there was only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah? Based on the fact that it's almost like a chazaka that of that Elul is only 29 days, so I guess I'm confused from their position why is Rosh Hashanah 2 days?
So my guess would be is that they were machmir for the sub. Well, firstly, Rosh Hashanah, I don't know, that's a good question, because it's worth noting based upon your question, which is that. Well, no, actually, I take that back. So the answer might be they might very well have kept 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but it's the Safek, but Yom Kippur they weren't willing to do. In other words, Minat Torah, they didn't have to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but it wasn't such a problem. But Yom Kippur wasn't feasible to have people fast 48 straight hours. That's what I assume.
But why would there, if Elul was 99% 29 days, then why wasn't that established? In other words, we say now that we have the calendar, but essentially they had the calendar then too.
So the question would, the issue would be, you're asking why have Yom Tov Sheni at all? Not just Rosh Hashanah, could have been
for Rosh Hashanah
as well. Right, so the answer is because there wasn't Elul the Safek, even though the Minat Torah, I established that's Minat Torah why you need Yom Tov Sheni Chutz La'aretz. Because you can follow a row. But Midrabanan, they instituted Yom Tov Sheni. That's all. So presumably they would have kept it for Rosh Hashanah as well. Yom Kippur, it wasn't feasible to have people fast 48 hours. There were Amorim who did it, by the way, the Gemara mentions, but they were Yechidim. Okay, does that answer the question?
Yeah, so that's why they're not Chayv Kares, because Doraisa, they're...
Correct.
They knew
why
the day, Levy, but Rabban, I see. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Since Levi couldn't say, I heard the Beis Din say Mekudash, you know, for whatever reason, so therefore he didn't want to impose upon them. Why not? In other words, he knew the answer is because the truth is technically, even if he had heard the Beis Din say it, maybe he could have decided not to tell them as well. Right? In other words, until they knew definitively, they were entitled to keep the day they counted as Yom Kippur. Okay.
Now,
just a couple of comments about Yom Tov Sheni and its stringency. Number one, and I'm not going to read this inside the Gemara and Shabbos. I'll count this as Chazar from the Yom Iyun when I spoke about this, whenever that was. The Gemara and Shabbos points out that we do not make a bracha on what's known as Demai. When you would buy produce from an Am Aretz who might not have tithed, although Min HaTorah, most Amei Aretz did tithe properly, but a significant minority did not. So when you separate whatever you have to separate from the Amei Aretz's grain that he sold you, so you don't make a bracha on Afrashas Maiser Risha, on Afrashas Truma Maiser, because it's a Safek. And the Gemara wanted to know, why not? After all, we make brachos on Mitzvahs the Rabbanon, like Hanukkah, that's why it's in the Gemara and Shabbos here, in Bamei Madlikin. Why didn't you make a bracha on Demai? So Abaye says, at the end of this little passage, that on a vadai, meaning on a mitzvah the Chachamim created, like Hanukkah or Purim, we make brachos. But demai is only a suffix for something that the Torah says is mutter, But the Rabbanim were afraid the Amoraim didn't separate Trumas and Maisa. So on a suffake that they instituted, Abayi says there's no bracha. So then the Gemara says, ah, but what about Yom Tov Sheni? We make brachos. You know, when it comes second night of Rosh Hashanah and second night of Sukkot, we don't say, well, let's not make Kiddush with a bracha, with Shemu Malchus, by mentioning God's name, because maybe it's not really Yom Tov. The answer is no. We make brachos on Yom Tov Sheni. We treat Yom Tov Sheni in terms of Nusa, in terms of Tefillah, in terms of brachos, exactly the way we treat Yom Tov Rishon. So why not? So Abaye says, Hasam ki heche dilola zalzuleba. Because if you tell people not to make Kiddush with Shemu Malchus, imagine you tell people the following. First night of Sukkot, you're going to say, Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam asher bachar banu mikolam. But the second night of Sukkot might not really be Sukkot. So you're going to say, Baruch atah melech haolam asher bachar banu mikolam. You're going to leave out all of God's names from Kiddush. So it's a recipe. The message that it brought, the broadcast message, is that this isn't really serious. We don't take Yom Tov Sheni seriously because we're not willing to say Kiddush. We're not willing to say any brachos. So therefore, the Chachamim, when they instituted Yom Tov Sheni, they instituted that you say brachos as well. And Rava Amar, Rov Ame Aretz Ma'asrim Hei. Rava says that no, that it's not that you can't have a bracha on something that's an element of Safek. It's that Demai is really just a remote concern. Most Ame Aretz Ma'asrim, and therefore when they instituted that we separate whatever we separate from produce bought from an Amaretz, no bracha there. Because really by right, you shouldn't have to do it. But Yom Tov Sheni, it sounds like it's not as much of a Safek, which is kind of odd. Either way, what certainly emerges from the Gemara is that we do treat Yom Tov Sheni like Yom Tov Rishon for all purposes of brachos. Now, there was one Tana who had a funny idea, which found in the Mishnah in Erevin, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrkinos. So he writes the following: Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrkinos Omer, over in the Fnei Teva b'Yom Tov Shav Rosh Hashanah, Omer Hachlitzenu Hashem Elokeinu Yom Hashachodesh Hazeh Im Hayom Im Lamachar, Ulamachar Omer Im Hayom Im Emesh. So apparently, imagine, you get up to Yidam V'Nomad. I could just see here, the cantor in shul is if it's today, but if it's tomorrow, not. Okay, I mean, what is that, what message does that send? So Rabbi Dosa thought, no, you have to be honest. You have to speak the truth. It might not be Yom Rosh Chodesh today. So we basically ask God, make us successful on this Rosh Chodesh, this Rosh Hashanah, if it's today or if it was tomorrow, or if it was today, it was yesterday. And Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrkin is this position that we describe as the Vulcan position. And the Chachamim's position is the human position. In other words, Rabbi Dosa is correct technically. But you can only imagine the impact it's going to have, the impression it's going to make, the impact it's going to have on people's behavior when you start to kind of undermine it. Better just tell them it's to pretend each day is Yom Tov. Okay. And then we have introduced a very, very unique circle, a very unique case, which is Meimar Shara Lemichal Eina B'Yom Tov Sheni Shirash Hashanah. The Gemara immediately preceding this in Beitza says, Michal Eina was like putting something in the eye. It was some kind of Malacha the Rabbanon. It was being done for refuah purposes. So a Meimar permitted a Jew to perform the Malacha the Rabbanon of being Kochal Einayim on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Ashi said to Ameimar, Amalei Rav Ashi Ameimar, Ha'amar Rabba, Meis B'Yom Tov Rishon, Yis'asku Bo Amim, B'Yom Tov Sheni, Yis'asku Bo Yisrael. So he said to him, on Yom Tov Rishon, a Jew can be buried only through Gentiles doing Malacha. Kavura is not Tocha Yom Tov. B'Yom Tov Sheni, on Yom Tov Sheni, the Jews who are necessary for doing the burial are allowed to be Michal Yom Tov. In fact, I think I may have misspoken. I think the Michal Eina might even be a Malacha Doraisa. I'm not sure. But in Yom Tov Sheni, you can for sure dig in the ground, which is a Malacha Doraisa, in order for in order to bury a Jew. Only those Jews who are necessary for the burial. Vafilu b'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Masha en kein bebeitza. So I'm not going to explain right now the last part of that sentence, but this is what Rava's challenge was. This is what Rav Ashi's challenge was to Ameimar. Ameimar said, that which I'm allowed to do on a regular Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, that the Rabbanim will matir, I am allowed to do that on any Yom Tov Sheni, even Rosh Hashanah. Meaning that there's no difference between Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah and Yom Tov Sheni of every other Yom Tov. And Rava said to him, that's not true. Rava said there's only one time where we treat Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah like it's a regular Yom Tov Sheni, and that is for burying a dead person. But Masha Ein Kei Mebeitza. Beitza, which apparently comes to represent the entire, everything, every other din, that Yom Tov Sheni is distinguished from Yom Tov Rishon, so that Rava says, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah is like Yom Tov Rishon Shel Rosh Hashanah, and it would be Aser. The only time the leniency of Beitza, whatever that is, and we'll explain that in a moment, the only place where that leniency applies is on a regular Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus, not on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, and we'll have at the end a couple more examples of situations where we would do one thing on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus and one thing on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. But in the meantime, Amemar responds that he disagrees, that he holds that even by Beitza, we treat Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah like every Yom Tov Sheni. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like Rav Ashi, Ein Chilek Bein Rishon L'Sheni Ilal Inyan Meis, V'chein Lichol Asa'ayim. O Shar Cholim She'en Bo Sakana. The only difference between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni is with regards to burying a dead person. As we just saw, on Yom Tov Rishon you bury only by the agency of non-Jews. On Yom Tov Sheni you bury even if Jews have to do the Malacha. And to be in kolchal sa'ayin for refuah purposes, even though there's no danger to life. The af al pish asa barishon ela al yidei ena yehudi em ein bo sakana b'sheni mutar afiyu al yidei Yisrael. So he's talking about, this last line is about being kolchal sa'ayin. Chutz miyom tov sheni, and it's both. It's about kolchal sa'ayin. Chutz miyom tov sheni shirash hashana d'shnei yabim kedusha achas harich tahein. On Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to bury a dead person, but you're not allowed to do malachos for refuah al Yidei Yisrael. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like Rav Ashi, against Amemar. Now, what was exactly Rav Ashi's position, Amemar's position? What is this reference to Beitza? So here, I want to take a look at a Mishnah, another Mishnah in Erevin. For those of you who might be doing Daf Yomi, you get a little bit of a head start. I think it's coming up really soon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah, you know, I'm even going to skip this case. The Odom Rabbi Yehuda, let's go to the second Mishnah, but it's the same principle. Masne Adam ala kalkala b'yom tov rishon v'ochla b'sheni, v'chein beitza shenolda b'rishon te'ochel b'sheni, v'lo hodolo chachamim. So let me explain the backdrop to this. There is a prohibition midrabanan of separating Trumos and Maestros on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Whatever the reason. Let's say I forgot to separate Trumos and Maestros before Yom Tov. Well, then I can't do it on Yom Tov and I can't eat the produce. But supposing the following. Supposing I'm having a bunch of, we Mirtz Hashem reached the post-COVID era. We're back to having people at our Shabbos meals. And I'm having a lot of people over for Yom Tov Sheni. And I forgot to separate Trumos and Maestros from the food before Yantav, and Yom Tov has come, and my spouse is going to kill me. I don't have I'm gender neutral here. Somebody forgot to separate the Trumas and Maestros, and somebody is furious. You forgot to separate the Trumas and Maestros. What are we going to feed our guests? So a Chacham comes along and says, I have a great idea. Today is Yom Tov Rishon. Now today either is Yom Tov or it's not Yom Tov. But here's the way it works. If today is Yom Tov, I'm not allowed to separate Trumas and Maestros, and I can't eat the food today. Granted. But if today is Yom Tov, and I'm having all the company on the second day, so then I know that tomorrow is not Yom Tov. We're pretending it's Yom Tov, but I know it's not. So a person can, on the first day of Yom Tov, say the following. Physically, you can, let's say, just to keep it simple, physically separate the Trumas and Maestros, but physical separation doesn't make it Trumas and Maestros, it doesn't give it Kedusha, and it doesn't render the rest of the food edible. In other words, there has to be a halachic declaration. But I'm going to make a very clever halachic declaration, and I'm going to say the following. If today is Yom Tov Rishon, then tomorrow is Chol, and I'm not doing anything today. I just separated grain, but just because I like to see different piles. No halachic significance. Fine. But if today is really Erev Yom Tov, because tomorrow is the real day of Yom Tov, now this physical grain that I separated is Trumas and Maestros. That's what you do on the first day. Come the second day, what do? Well, you don't know whether or not you separate Trumas and Maestros, because it depends whether yesterday was Yom Tov or not. So the second day you say the following. If yesterday was Yom Tov, then today is not, and now I hereby declare this stuff to be Trumas and Isos, and it's good. And if yesterday really wasn't Yom Tov, well, guess what? I separated Trumas and Isos yesterday. We're good to go. In other words, and by the way, you can do this. This you can do, this halacha l'maisa. If you forget to make an Erev Tavshilin before Yom Tov, except for Rosh Hashanah, meaning, let's say Pesach was Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and you forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, on Thursday, you can make an Erev Tavshilin with the very same formulation. You say, if today is Yom Tov, Thursday, then I don't need an Erev Tavshilin tomorrow, because tomorrow is the regular Vachadika day. It's Friday, Erev Shabbos, it's Chol, it's a Chol HaMoed, but that's fine. And if today is really not Yom Tov and tomorrow is Yom Tov, this is my Erev Tavshilin. So you want to make a bracha on that case, but you could just recite the paragraph that if today is not really Yom Tov, then Bahadein Eruva Yeshara Lana, etc., etc., etc. And if today is really Yom Tov, then you don't need an Erev Tavshilin.
Right.
Tomorrow's Chol. So Rabbi Yehuda, though, said this even on Rosh Hashanah. Same thing, by the way, a Beitza Shenolda, right? An egg that is laid on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat that day. You can only eat the next day. But if it's born on the first day of a Yom Tov, if it's not Yom Tov, it's not Rosh Hashanah, it's any other Yom Tov, so the Beitza, you don't even have to do anything. It's Mutter, the second day of Yom Tov. Why? Because if the first day of Yom Tov was really Yom Tov, then the second day it's Chol, and you can eat an egg that was laid on Yom Tov the next day. And if today, the second day is really Yom Tov, well, guess what? The Beitza was born on Erev Yom Tov, was laid on Erev Yom Tov, it's Mutter. So Rabbi Yehuda says this can even work by Rosh Hashanah, but the Chachamim disagree. Now, in the Mishnah, they don't say that it works by the Yom Tovim. Remember, because there was no other Yom Tov Sheni in the Mishnah. But the Gemara now, in Beitza, the Daf and Beis, presents the following. Itmar, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galios. And this term, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galios, means not Rosh Hashanah. You know, it's the 2 days of Yom Tov that only the diaspora would mark. In Eretz Yisrael, they also had to mark Rosh Hashanah for most of Eretz Yisrael because they didn't know which day it would be. So when we use the term Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galios, it means not Rosh Hashanah, any other Yom Tov. Rav Omar Nol De Bezeh Muteres Bezeh, Rav Asi Omar Nol De Bezeh Asur Bezeh. So what's the machlokus about? So the Gemara thinks Lema Kasavar Rav Asi Kedusha Achasi. The Gemara understands the machlokus Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah Erevin as follows. Rabbi Yehuda believes that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are a regular suffix. It's either yesterday or today, and therefore you're allowed to make this conditional. You can make this tonight. The Chachamim believe, for a reason we'll explain in a moment, that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the 2 days are treated as one long day. It's Kedusha Achas, not two Kedushas. So that's when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. All other days of Yom Tov, Sheni Shel Galios, Rav assumes it's Shnei Kedushas. And therefore, if an egg is born on the first day, you can eat it on the second day. If you forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin before Yom Tov, and it's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, you can make an Erev Tavshilin on Thursday conditionally. That's what Rav says. And Rav Asi said, no the Bezeh Sur Bezeh, just like Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara thought, Lema Kasava Rav Asi, Kedusha Achasi, but for Rav Asi, Mavdil Yom Tov L'Chavrei. We don't do this, by the way. Rav Asi used to make Havdalah, let's say, Motzei Shabbos, on a regular 2 day Yom Tov during the week, let's say with Thursday, Friday, Thursday night, Rav Asi would make Havdalah, at least maybe not with Shemu Malchus, maybe not with the Bracha, but he would make Baruch HaMavdim in Kodesh Shachol. Why? So apparently because he thinks it's a suffix. He thinks that the first day is really Yom Tov, and maybe you should make Havdalah because Yom Tov is over. So you see that Rav Asi doesn't treat it as one long day, because otherwise you wouldn't make Havdalah until the end of the second day of Yom Tov, what we do. And we do that even though we regard Yom Tov Sheni as two Kedushos, two separate days, but which we're not sure about. So the Gemara says, Rav Asi sepuke misapkalei v'avet hacha l'chomer v'hacha l'chomer. Rav Asi wasn't sure, and therefore he was machmir not to eat an egg on the second day of Yom Tov that was laid on the first day, because maybe it's one Kedusha. He was also machmir to do Havdalah after Yom Tov Rishon before Yom Tov Sheni, even though, because maybe it's 2 days, it's two Kedushas. Even though we hold it's two Kedushas, we don't make Havdalah because that would lead to a zilzal of Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, but now, when the Gemara continues in Beitza, and we'll read just the first part and I'll explain. Itmar, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, Ravu Shmuel Ba'amri Tarvayu, No De Bezeh Asur Bezeh, and then Rav, I think, is going to disagree. Now, Rav and Shmuel say that that Nolda Bezeh is Asur Bezeh by Rosh Hashanah, Shneim Tal Rosh Hashanah, because it's one long day. So you can't say, if yesterday was Yom Tov, then the Beitza, then today is Chol. You can't say that by Rosh Hashanah. There's no yesterday and today. Rosh Hashanah is one long day. The only exception we've seen already is burying a mace on Yom Tov Sheni Shir Rosh Hashanah. That's treated like it's Chol. But everything else, you're treated as one long day. Now, the Gemara goes on to record, though, a machlokas about this. What is the machlokas about? So, first question you have to ask is, why is Rosh Hashanah treated as one long day? How is that suffix of Rosh Hashanah different than any other suffix? So the Gemara explains that the reason why they treated Rosh Hashanah as one long day is because there was at least one scenario in which you kept 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even though you knew that one of the days wasn't really Rosh Hashanah when you were observing it. And what was that case? It was the case where the Eidim come after Mincha time on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah said that Noagim Oso Yom Kodesh, I'm sorry, the Gemara said, Noagim Oso Yom Kodesh Ulamachar Kodesh. In other words, even though you know already after Mincha, even though you know that today is not going to actually be declared Rosh Hashanah, nonetheless, you continue observing the day as Rosh Hashanah and into the next day. And that's a case where you're no longer observing Rosh Hashanah b'torah safek out of doubt, but rather b'torah zvada, you know it's not. And that's considered now one long day. That is why the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda by Shnei Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. They say it's not considered Kedusha Achas, it's considered Shtei Kedushos. And that's why Beitza Shenol the Bezeh is Asur Bezeh only by Rosh Hashanah. The Machlokas HaAmorayim, as the Gemara presents it, is what happened when Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai came along and returned the thing, reverted back to the original din, where Rabbi Yochanan said that you would accept Eidim and Amin Chalamala. So the question is, what was the nature of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai's Takana? And the Gemara says here, according to Rava, is that even Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai believes that despite the fact that you were mekabel eidus hachodesh min amincha lamala, they still kept the second day of Rosh Hashanah. You count from the first day because you accepted the witnesses, but you still observe Yom Tov the second day. And Rava says, if that is true, then it means that even after Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai made his takana, we have situations where we keep Rosh Hashanah 2 days, even though we know which day is actually Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, Rava says, disagreeing with Rava, Rava agrees with Rav and Shmuel, that even after the takana of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, even though you might accept witnesses after Zman HaMincha, nonetheless, Rosh Hashanah remains still Shtei Kedushos. Kedusha Achas. Kedusha Achas. And therefore, Beitz HaShanol de Bezeh is Asura Bezeh. One last fascinating position, which is too complicated to fully explore. I'm going to mention it to you. We don't pass like the Rambam, so it doesn't matter halacha lemaisa. But the Rambam writes, the Rambam explains what I explained to you before about doing things al tanai. If you look in halacha yud aleph here, the Rambam says shnei yamin tovim shechol lios b'chamishi v'er shabbos osa erev tavshilin miyom revi shu erev yom tov. You're supposed to make the erev tavshilin on Wednesday. Shachach v'lo hiniach. If you forgot to make the Erev on Wednesday, Manicho Barishon Umasna, you can make the conditional Erev Tashil, as I explained to you before. Yeah, yeah. But then the Rambam says in the next halacha, Kol HaDvarim HaElu, She'amarnu Hayu Bisman She'a Beisdin Shalaret Yisrael Mekachin Al Pi'ara'iya, Hayu B'nei HaGaliyos Osim Shnei Yamim Kidei L'Stalik Min HaSafik. So the Rambam says that this idea of being able to get up on the first day of Yom Tov and to say, if today is Yom Tov, da-da-da-da-da, and the next day to say, if today is Yom Tov, da-da-da-da-da. That, the Rambam says, is only true when Beis Din was Mekadesh al-Pi Hara'iya. V'hoyu b'nei ha-goliyos osim shnei yamim kidei l'stalik min ha-safik. When it was a real safik, l'fi shelo hayu yodim yom shekidshu bo b'nei Eretz Yisrael. Avol hayom shebnei Eretz Yisrael som chanal ha-cheshbon u'mikadshin alav in Yom Tov shenu l'stalik min ha-safik ela min ha-bilvat. So the Rambam says the only reason we keep Yom Tov Sheni is not because there's any suffix, but just because of a minhag. And now here's where the Rambam goes out on a limb. He says, Ulafikach, Ani omer she'ein ma'arev adam umasne bizman hazeh. Lo erve tafshilin velo erve chatzeres velo shitufe mavos veinu ma'aser ha'tevra altanai ela kol me'erv yom tov bilvad. The Rambam goes sort of almost to an extreme. He claims now that at least the Chumrah, in a certain sense, we treat even the Shnei Yamin Tovim Shogalios as Kedusha Achas, because we're no longer reliant, there's no longer based in the Mekadosh Techodesh, which means there's not even a whiff of a Sveika Diyoma. And therefore, when we keep the second day today, it is completely, completely, not because of Safek, but just because of Minhag Avosenu, and therefore the ability to make such a Tanai falls away. We don't, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass like the Rambam, and Halacha Lemaisa, if you forget to make, it's not, it doesn't work this year, but when we will have a Yom Tov that's a Monday, that's a Wednesday, Thursday, if you Thursday, Friday, if you forget to make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, you can make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday. You do it without a bracha, you do it with a condition. I haven't noticed, I don't know if they print this in the art school Siddur or not, but it would be useful to print for people in the Siddur exactly the formulation of making the Erev conditionally on the first day to avoid, to fix your mistake. And you certainly don't need to say anything that if you have, if you for some reason, you know, if maybe, I don't know, you know, you have a country home and you raise chickens there. Maybe you're a Mayapak or something like that. And you have chickens. Marshall, do they have chickens in Mayapak? I don't know if Marshall.
Yes, our next door neighbor has chickens and he brings us fresh eggs.
Seriously?
Vadai Emes.
Wow. So you should know, Marshall. You should know it's not going to work this year, probably. I don't know if it works with Shabbos and Yom Tov, Halach Lamaisa. But you should know that if you're ever there for another Yom Tov and it's Shnei Yom Tovim and your neighbor brings you eggs on the first day of Yom Tov, they may be muksa then. You have to ask him just to put it down. But you can enjoy a nice cheese omelet on the second day, just so you know. Okay.
The Rav pointed out, based upon that Rambam and our learning before, that really Minhag Avosenu is basic to Jewish law. And he went off on the tangent, and the whole idea of Minhag was not the same shiurim, it was the shiurim 3 years before.
Okay.
That Rabbi Lichtenstein spoke about. This is 3 years earlier.
It's certainly it, as much as people don't like it, Yom Tov Sheni is a powerful Minhag Yisrael. Okay, so I just want to close then. So basically what we've seen is that Yom Tov Sheni, Shov HaShoshana, is different than Yom Tov Sheni, Shogalios, in that it is treated, the Yom Tov is treated as Kedusha Achas, in effect one long day, not a Shtei Kedushas. And the result of that is we don't treat the second day of Rosh Hashanah with regards to many things in the same way as we treat a regular Yom Tov Sheni, Shogalios. And I wanted to just give a few examples here, and that's what we'll close with. Firstly, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Tav Tzadi Vav Sif Aleph, "Begolios Shosim Shnei Yamin Tov Misafei Komash Asa Barishan Asa B'Sheni." The Hayumanal Din Lamisha Mizalzabo. Anything you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov Rishon, you can't do on Yom Tov Sheni, and then we excommunicate somebody who would be Mizalzel, who would treat Yom Tov Sheni lightly. Then later, the Mechaber writes, "Biyom Tov Sheni" in Sifkatan Tav Kof Chafav. Biyom Tov Sheni Yisasku Bo Yisrael Afilo Biyom Sheni Shor Rosh Hashanah. This is the one exception where we do have a kula on Yom Tov Sheni that applies, a leniency on Yom Tov Sheni Shor Rosh Hashanah Shor Galios that applies, not just Yom Tov Sheni Shor Galios, but Yom Tov Sheni Shor Rosh Hashanah. Now, here's the Tanai issue. Im Nizkar Biyom Tov Rishon Shelo Ired, Im Hu Biyom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah Eino Yachol La'arev Al Tanai. Right, you forgot to make your Erev Tashila or an Erev Chatzeres, that's not so relevant to most of us. So if you forgot to make it on Erev Yom Tov, then on Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't work to be Ma'ariv al Tanai. Avalam hu b'yom tov shogalios yachol la'ariv b'tanai. And you can say, im hayom kodesh eino tzarech la'ariv, because tomorrow is chol, and I can cook on Friday when it's vach for Yom Tov. V'im hayom chol, b'erev zeh, yeheishara lanu lafuyi levashule, etc. You can say the formulation, just without a brach. Ulam machar ein tzarech lomar kun. The next day, you don't need to say anything because either you made an Erev Tavshilin yesterday, Thursday, Erev Yom Tov, or today is Chol. Okay, fine. Continuing. This is an interesting case. What do you do for Shechiyanu for Rosh Hashanah? Every Yom Tov Sheni, if you make a Shechiyanu on Yom Tov Rishon, you make a shechen yom tov sheni. The only exception, which isn't an exception, is the last days of Pesach. But there, you don't make a shechen yom tov rishon, so you don't make a yom tov sheni on 8th day of Pesach either. But what about Rosh Hashanah? So here the Torah quotes a very extensive machlokas. Rashi apparently said, and I think some of the Gonim held, that you don't make Shechianu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And the Torah, and coming from his father, the Rosh, objected. And the fact is that we try, the Shulchan Aruch says, Bekiddush Leil Sheni, either Yobash Beger Chodesh, O Meniach Pri Chodesh, O Me Shechianu. But Vim Ein Matzoi Beger Chodesh, O Pri Chodesh, Im Koze Yomer Shechianu. In other words, if you don't have a new fruit for the second night of Rosh Hashanah, you still make the bracha of Shechianu. And the same machlokas, I believe, applies by the Shechianu of Tkiya Shofar. Now, that's obviously not relevant this year because that one, there's only one day of Tkiya Shofar, so obviously we're going to make the Shechianu on Sunday, Lechulei Alma. And one last example, and then I will stop, which is the following. Bimkomo Osim Shnei Yamim Tovim. I have to step back for just one brief moment. Are the practices of Avelus the Oraisa or the Rabbanon? Or sitting Shiva, the Oraisa, the Rabbanon? Now, there's a big machlokas here between the sages of Svard and the Gaonim and the sages of Ashkenaz. Chachmei Svara and the Gaonim say that when a person dies and is buried that day, the Avelus the rest of that day is the Oraisa. It has to only be, it's Avelus Yom Rishon, the first day of Shiva, when the day of death and the day of burial were the same, according to the Gaonim and the Rambam and Chachmei Svarad are the Oraisa. According to the Balei Atos and Chachmei Ashkenaz, practices of Avelus are always the Rabbana. So the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the following case. B'mekomo she'osim shnei yamim tovim, in places where you keep 2 days of Yom Tov, Misha meis lo meis, b'yom tov sheni, shu yom tov achon shel Pesach o shochad, o b'yom tov sheni shel atzeres. Should a person die on the last day of Yom Tov, and it is Yom Tov sheni, meaning not the first days of Sukkot, not the first days of Pesach, but either on Shmini, on Simchas Torah, on the second day of Shavuos, or on the 8th day of Pesach, v'kavru bo b'yom, and as we know, you can bury on Yom Tov sheni, and they bury the meis. The Mechaber says, Noeg bo ha'avelus, ho'el v'yom tov sheni mi'divrem. You do not treat it as Yom Tov. You start observing avelus on last day of Yom Tov. Why? Because, ho'el v'yom tov sheni mi'divrem.
Where are you?
Yom tov sheni is only the Rabbanan. Va'avelus yom rishon shehu yom miso kura shel Torah. It's the Raisa. Therefore, yidche asei, Shel Devrayim, Yidach Asay Shel Devrayim, Mipnei Asay Shel Torah. The mitzvah's Asay of Avelos is Doche, anything that you don't need to do Malach on Yom Tov, but it's Doche, the Simchas Yom Tov, and you start observing Shiva on the second, on the last day of Yom Tov. Aval, the Mechaber says in the next line, Im Meis B'Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah B'Kavru Bo B'Yom, Eino Noeg Bo Avelos, Sheshnei Hayomim Kiyom Orchem. It's rather amazing. In other words, even though it's clearly Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah is the Rabbanan, nonetheless, because the Rabbanan chose to treat the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as one long day, the Asay de Orais of Avelus is not Doche, the Asay, the Rabbanan of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, because we treat the second day of Rosh Hashanah like the first day. But then the Mechaber says, by the way, V'olam Noagim Shelo L'Sabel B'Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios HaShemes Afil Yom Yisakvur. The minhag the Mechaber acknowledges is to not celebrate, not observe Avelus at all on Yom Tov Sheni, no matter what, even if they bury the mass that day. And I always love to point out to my students this Ramah, because I think the Ramah was needling the Mechaber here. He said, yes, because we hold that Avelus is always the Rabbanan. Right? In other words, the minhag Olam assumes Avelus of Yom Rishon is always the Rabbanan, and therefore every Yom Tov Sheni, Shel Galios, is also sets aside the Avelus. Even though the Mechaber thinks it's the, I mean, we usually say, what's the practical nafkamina between whether Yom Tov Rishon Shel Avelus is the Reis or not, is whether you observe it on Yom Tov Sheni. So the Mechaber says you're supposed to observe Yom Tov Sheni, but he acknowledges that that is not the minna. So bottom line is that, but nonetheless, if we were to observe Avelus on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, in accordance with the Mechaber and the Gaonim, nonetheless, we wouldn't do that on Rosh Hashanah, because in this regard, once again, Rosh Hashanah is treated, the second day is not treated like the second day of any other Yom Tov, with the exception of burying a mace. Otherwise, we treat it like the first day of Rosh Hashanah. All right. Any questions? Rabbi Lichtstein, you're muted.
Wonderful year of learning, and in Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be able to continue on next year, and hopefully sometime during next year to be able to learn in person.
Amen. Amen. I would like to take this opportunity to wish everybody a ksiva chasima tova and a good gebench dror, and Be'ezras Hashem, Shir will resume on Erev Yom HaKippurim. It will also not be Maseches Brachos. It will probably be something, may inyana de yoma. Yeah.